Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today in the studio is the man, the producer. That's right, you know who it is. Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Gymnastics.
Well, you know who's coming.
You're confused, sir. That is you.
Mr. Gymnastics himself, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, Steve. Welcome, welcome, welcome. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. We want to welcome you today from all around the world and the globe. Thank you for all of our Facebook fans. India, Philippines, South America, the United States. We're all joining together. Give a shout out there to the Bronx, the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Crystal.
You say Boogie Down?
Boogie Down Bronx, man.
How about that?
That's back in the day.
Wow.
Are you boogieing down up there?
Man, I'm boogieing down for the Lord. I want to give a shout out to Wendy. Wendy in New Jersey. The Lord is good. I love how you're taking care of the homeless. Well, we have a program for you today. Share with your friends. Get them on Facebook. Listen now. You know, guys, how are you today, Pat? I did not hear anything, or I didn't get any texts today, Steve, regarding any kind of animals or any kind of new tricks or things. Normally, I get a little, you know, text or picture, something. But I haven't received some, you know, since the last video of hours that he spent training. Listen, if you have not been on the torch, okay,
notifications of the additions to the family or just random hamsters that just happen to show up in the truck or...
No.
In the kitchen.
I received a video of Pat's... I don't know if he was practicing dog whisper. I don't know what he was doing, I don't know what he was doing there. But he sent a video that you can, yes, see on the torch. Yes, absolutely, of his two dogs playing nicely. Mm-hmm. We talked about yesterday how these dogs can teach some adults how to play nice together.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't received any new things, so I assume that everything is great in the dog world there out there.
Everything's fine
in the dog world.
Fantastic.
They're doing wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I wanted to share this morning, guys, how the Lord speaks to us. It's, mm-hmm. you know, very interesting. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, God was speaking to Elijah, and the Lord told him, go out and stand on the mountain. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Mm. I mean, that's a frightening thought right there. The Lord's about to pass by? Oh, okay. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The question is, where was Elijah? On his face? What was happening when the mountains were being torn apart? Okay. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. You know, God has a way of allowing situations to happen in our life that we see some mountains shattering. Mm-hmm. We see some winds a-blowing. And maybe you are feeling or going through a fiery situation today. But it's not about the fire. It's not about the trial. It's not about all the stuff that's happening all around you. It's about, listen, God's about to speak. But you can't hear God in the chaos. You can't hear God in the storm. You can't hear God over the noise. You have to be still, like we talked about yesterday. We have to be still and listen to his still, small, whisper voice.
Wow.
You know, that's how the Lord speaks. Oftentimes people want God to shout, just tell me something, scream. They want to hear him audible. Hello there. Pat, stop training the dogs. No. They want to hear audible voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes it's the still small voice. And God's not going to speak above the noise.
Mm-mm. He's not going to yell.
Mm-mm. And he's not going to fight for your attention. We need to position ourselves, no matter what we're going through, to quiet ourselves, to slow down to the pace where we can get away from everything that's pulling us away, all the distractions, and set that time to sit before God. Because he has so much to say. And the Lord wants to impart to us so many things. But the truth is that we can't impart anything to anybody. We can't give anything to anybody that we indeed have not first received.
Mm.
How can you give what you don't have?
Yeah.
Trying to give. And it's like, I don't think you have this right now. You're trying to. One of those things is that we try to give love and offer love. And if you haven't known it now, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called you to be on this journey, this walk called L-O-V-E.
Mm.
It is a love walk, and it's all about the love.
That's right.
The love of God and the love that we show others. In fact, he says, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Greatest commands. And in that, you are summing up the whole law, because the Ten Commandments has to do with God and has to do with people. And if you focus on those two, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others, you fulfill the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible also says, how can you love a God that you can't see if you can't even love the brother that you can see? And I don't know about you, but I can grow in this walk. I can grow in this walk. There's room. There's room. But there's a love walk that God wants us to have, and we'll be known by our love. Mm-hmm. Or known by the lack of love. And if you're pursuing anything, pursue love, because God is love. And the truth is that you can only give what you have. And you got to understand, you have to have the proper perspective of what love is. And the truth is that you can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you know what love is. And if your definition of love is shallow or twisted, or what you got from a television program, or what you got from the latest talk show, or what you got from the Hollywood, or what you got from your friend, or what you even got from your own family, if that's your perspective on love,
that's all you're given.
That's all you're given.
Yeah.
But you don't even know if it's biblical love, if it's godly love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that we quiet ourselves. Quiet ourselves and understand that anything that we're going to give, especially in the areas of love, we have to first be receivers of God's love. And understanding this makes us... understanding this is very key, is a key component, because it makes us utterly dependent on being with him. It makes us dependent on understanding that he is the true source of all good things. And so if I am supposed to give love and walk in love, are we receivers of the love of God? Sometimes people have the hardest times just receiving God's love. I mean, and you find, and the enemy has lied to so many people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys have, you know, experiences of your own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In terms of, you know, so many people have felt rejection and hurt and so many things that they actually even question, does God even love me? How could God? I don't even love myself. How could God love me?
Yeah, and then the devil comes in just trying to steal that. When someone tries showing you love, that lie of, okay, what's their motive?
Exactly.
Why are they doing this?
All right, this ain't real.
What do they want out of this? Why are they really being nice to me? And it's just the devil just coming in just trying to just steal that away.
Absolutely. And the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And all those seeds of love that have been sown by others, by God, he immediately comes in to steal those seeds of love. Because if love can grow in your heart, my goodness, if love can grow in your heart. I'm talking about true love now. I mean, this word has been used by so many people. I mean, probably one of the words most used in so many songs. And it's the probably one of the greatly misdefined word that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And we often talk about the original intent of the country. We'll often talk about the original intent of the church. Listen, you got to get to the original intent of everything in life. All starts and begins in God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in life, everything that you see and look at and experience, you can source that back to God the Creator himself. And so it stands to reason that if he's the originator of love, that we would truly understand what is the love of God and how he wants us to exercise this love.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step in this journey of love, this first step, 1 Corinthians tells us, because, you know, it's a journey. It's a walk, right? A love walk. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been on this love walk and how long. Maybe you've tried this love walk and you got off of this love walk. We want to encourage you to get on the path, get on the love walk, and take the first step. And 1 Corinthians tells us what love is. 1 Corinthians 13:14 says that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails, but the first step, first word we see here in the Bible is that love is patient.
Mm-hmm.
Patient. You know, this is an interesting word.
Do tell.
Pat, we won't explain any of your reason why I think that right now. We will spare you. No, okay, me. But one of the ways we love is by having patience.
Mm-hmm.
And patient is defined as long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Which means to suffer for a long time.
Ruh-roh.
And be okay.
Not 5 seconds
it.
When you get irritated.
And be
That's right.
With it.
Yeah. Long suffering. The capacity to endure hardship, difficulty, or inconvenience without complaining. Without complaining. See, the thing is that sometimes we think that we're being patient or that we are enduring.
While we're complaining.
It don't work.
Doesn't work that way.
That's not suffering. That's not right. Being patient. That's not suffering. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's enduring the hardship. Yes, this is difficult. Enduring the difficulty. Enduring the inconvenience. And then on top of that, with a smile on your face.
Thank you for this. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, sir. May I have another?
Can I have another, please?
Look, Pat has this down, he is so good at this. We're not even going to be talking about him. Maybe he can share some wisdom with us on how he does this.
Yeah, I'll share it with you later.
But the word endure means to suffer patiently without yielding, to bear with tolerance. That's what enduring means. Enduring means we're not just grinning and bear it, say, we're enduring it. And we start complaining and just flapping at the lips and, you know, you're not enduring it if you're talking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're not enduring if you're complaining. You're complaining. You're not suffering. See, the fact that you're talking right now, the fact that you're saying something, that's not patience. Is that we don't say anything. The definition even goes on to say that it is the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, yes, we know, and without the loss of temper or anger.
Ouch.
And the thing about it is that to love, you're really truly going to love. You're really, really going to truly love. It's going to cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing about love. When you say that you're loving someone, it's not, you know, it's easy to say words. It's easy to sing a song. It's easy to buy gifts and flowers and all those. You know, those things are easy. You know, just here's a card. You know what I'm saying? Those things are easy. But if we're really going to walk on this love walk, we're really going to embrace what biblical definition of love is. And the first thing in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 tells us, and it's often quoted as the love chapter, is that we understand that love is being patient. I mean, how many times are we tempted to be in a rush? How many times are we tempted to get things moving in a certain pace? You know, mm-hmm. we've got places to go, people to see, and other people, because of what they're doing and interrupting with our schedule, they become an annoyance. They become, you know, an agitation.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how patient, I mean, really, when you think about that, we really just kind of pause on this, because sometimes, you know, we like to do California stops and kind of, you know, just stop a little bit and keep going through the stop sign. That's not a true stop. A true stop is stopping the car, looking to the left, to the right, and then proceeding to hit the gas pedal because you have fully stopped. The car stopped.
Mm-hmm.
California stop is when you just tap the brake, pause it for a minute, and keep going. The car is moving. There's still momentum in the vehicle. And sometimes we can be guilty of doing California stops when it comes to God's truth. We just tap it. Okay, good. Got it. Next. It's like, wait. Did you read how many chapters this morning? It's like, did you think maybe you needed to pause on the first verse? You know?
Right.
You know, let's just pause on the first two, three words here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And let God speak and meditate and let God speak to you in still, small voice. One thing, you know, if we're going to hear God, it'd probably be good if we do, you know, less talking and more hearing. You know, you know, I heard someone say that God gave us one mouth and two ears, and that's so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. And if we would apply that principle when it comes to prayer, we wouldn't be giving God a litany or a list of things that we need or want him to do, but we would listen to what he's wanting to communicate and share with us. And when we talk about patience, we're talking about a way that we could move in biblical love, in a way that we could honor God, a way that we could honor others, and a way that we can make what Jesus is doing in our life manifest. I mean, what is the point if we're worshiping? What is the point if we're among fellowship? What is the point if we're trying to do all this other stuff, but we're not even moving in love? It's all for naught, and the Bible says it's a clanging cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot overstep love. We can't just sidestep this and get on another lane. God says, listen, if you want to get on this other highway, you have to first go through the pathway of love. There's no skipping. There's no side streets. There's no exits off of this ramp here.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get on my highway and really move in the things that I'm doing, the only way to this highway is to get on the path of love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on the path of love, you can begin to start entering into the fullness of what God has for you. Because the most dangerous thing that you could do is really get on the fullness of what God has and leave love behind. Because when you get there, it won't look pretty. It won't look pretty. Focus on the path of love. When we come back for this break, we're going to share more about how we can grow and stay on the right path.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can religious material be shared at a senior center? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have picked up the Purpose Driven Life book, and we've been going through that for the last several months. The director came in and asked us if we were what we were doing, and we just shared that we have this book and we're going through it and discussing it. And she made a comment that we can't have this religious material in this senior center.
Oh, that's absolutely incorrect. We have litigated those cases. These government-funded senior centers are a great place for senior citizens to get together, to have Bible studies and things like that. And it is not legal to suppress the Bible study. So you're clearly within your rights. Let me get you in touch, Norm, with our lawyers here at the ACLJ. We'll assign someone to help you right away. This is an important issue for us, so you hang on the line, and we're going to get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it, you know, it seems totally impossible. But it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamian, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him. If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God, and in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jamie?
All I asked him, "What is your name?"
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately.
Welcome back VFN Radio. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're going to continue. This whole conversation went straight through the break, and we're going to bring it back here for you.
We didn't stop.
We were stirred.
We had a good old time.
We were stirred. Because God's doing something. This is hitting a core because God's speaking to us. Mm-hmm. The truth is that we can do all these great and wonderful things for God, but if we're not moving in the love of God, it's all for naught. And Peter's often saying, you know, shares with us in the Bible that he says, I'll have to remind you of this again, basically. Remind you. It's okay for us to be reminded. A person may say, well, how many times do I need to hear this? As many times as you need to get it. You know, you've successfully, you know, you can get off the test when you successfully pass the test. But until you pass the test, you're going to keep getting the test.
You're going to keep taking it.
Yeah.
You're going to keep taking it. So it all depends upon you.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we can get focused on the fact of complaining as far as why am I going through this again? But until we get that perspective of it's that important that it's removed from your life that God is taking you through it again. So that you can get that awareness of just saying, oh, maybe God's trying to tell me something here because I know I did this last week, or actually I did this an hour ago.
Yeah. Right.
It's that important for it to get out of our lives that God is reminding us about it.
Sure. And this is a good reminder because we need it.
Yeah.
we need it. I need it. And it's the love walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love walk. And how are we going to reach your people if we're not even moving in love? It's the truth in love, right? It's the truth in love. And one of the things that we talked about in terms of this love walk is growing in the area of patience, which is long-suffering, which is bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain. And the key component is without complaining. Without complaining. If we are complaining, then we are not being patient and we're not being long-suffering.
Mm-mm.
And we've talked about this before, but there's something about, I guess, just living in America that we just don't want to suffer.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if it's a little hot, then that's not, don't get hot now.
And you got to make sure that other people know that you're uncomfortable, that you're hot.
That's right.
And that you should be cool.
If you're a little hungry, don't let some people get hungry. If you're a little hungry, a little, they're not good.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
if anyone's inconvenienced, everything's not lined up perfect.
Or, watch out.
And the thing about it is that, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. We have to get this thing together. And I look at First Peter chapter 2, verse 18, and this is what the word says. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. I mean, here's an expectation that we're supposed to obey, we're supposed to submit with all respect, not some, with all respect. And not only to those who treat you great, but to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God.
Mm.
See, the whole thing about suffering, it allows you to have a God consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Which is a fear of God.
Which is a fear of God.
You're totally aware that he's present and he's watching you, everything that you're doing.
Absolutely. As opposed to a self-consciousness, which is focused on yourself and what you're going through and what's right and what's fair.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is that if we have a God consciousness, that his eyes are upon me, that he is with me, that he can enable me with the grace that I need. See, a lot of times we look at the things that Jesus did in his ministry and we're saying, oh, well, that, you know, people say, oh, well, that was Jesus. Well, that was Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. God would never call you to do anything that you are not able to do in his strength. Mm-hmm. That would be an unfair, unright of God. And we know that he is righteous, he is fair, he's perfect. So God, if God calls us to act a certain way and to do certain things, it's only because we can do it in him. The problem is that oftentimes we attempt to do God things our ways, mm-hmm. God things in our strengths. Mm-hmm. And we look at the difficulty, we look at the circumstances, and say, well, I can't do that. I can't stop that. That was Jesus. No, you can't. You're absolutely right. You absolutely can't do it in your own strength.
Right.
But how you can do it is when your total dependency upon, you know, is on the Lord. And when you cry out for God's grace, his supernatural enablement, his supernatural empowerment to help you to do what you could not do in your own strength. That's why we cry out, grace, grace. But we have to bear under some sort of suffering. Mm-hmm. And this is my concern. It's like, if we can't suffer in a blessed land that has air conditioning, highways, plenty of food,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If we can't suffer under these conditions, you know, my mm-hmm. coffee was cold. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I've seen here recently folks that were just, I can't even go there. Leave that one alone. But I'm seeing really across the land people mm-hmm. that are berating people that work in restaurants and going off on them because they got their order messed up.
Yeah.
But that should be no way mm-hmm. for a Christian to act. Mm-mm. Berating someone because they messed up an order or they got something wrong, just dogging them out. And it's like, what is going on here? If we can't suffer in a blessed land because our steak was messed up, I mean, it's like, oh
yeah,
my
God.
We have a long way to go because let me tell you, the direction that this country is going, the direction of what's happening and the things that God has already told us, unless we repent, we are going to experience much suffering, mm-hmm. which is going to require greater love to endure mm-hmm. the major inconveniences, the major trials, the major misfortunes. Mm-hmm. And if we don't learn how to suffer on this side, if we don't learn how to move in patience on this side,
right.
If we don't learn how to move in true love when the conditions are easier to love, what is going to happen? The Bible says in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. But we have to make sure that we're relying on God's grace. And one of the things that happens is that we fall into the temptation of not just being willing to be patient, not you know, we don't want to suffer. But the part of being patient is to endure the hardship, to bear mm-hmm. it. You're taking it upon. You're going through it. You're not complaining. You're not saying a word because you're conscientious that God is with you. You have a God mm-hmm. consciousness. Mm-hmm. He's with you. His eyes upon you. He's going to give you the grace. But if you fall and slip into complaining, mm-hmm. that's it. You're not doing it.
No, exactly right. I mean, God so convicted me this morning about complaining.
Mm.
You know, I'm still reading The Fear of the Lord, and you don't realize how complaining will just—it's a killer. It'll snuff out your destiny if you continue to murmur and complain. Mm-hmm. And if you read in Philippians 2, it says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure."
Who's working in you?
God.
Mm.
Okay. Verse 14: Do everything without complaining.
What was that word?
Wait.
That kind of covers a lot right there.
Do some things.
Mm.
Do convenient things.
Yeah.
He says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God.
Mm.
Without fault in a crooked and depraved generation.
Wow.
My goodness. You look up the word complain, and that means to express dissatisfaction, pain, uneasiness, resentment, or grief to find fault.
Say that again.
To express dissatisfaction, pain, uneasiness, resentment, or grief find fault. And he talks about the children of Israel, which was immediately the first thing I thought of. When they were brought out from Egypt into the promised land, or into the desert, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, first of all, he wanted to, not because God wanted to find out what was in their hearts. He already knew. He was trying to find out. He wanted them to know what was in their hearts.
Right. Yeah.
Every step of the way, when there was any type of inconvenience and they got impatient with God, they immediately started complaining and murmuring.
Mm.
Until Moses had to intercede for him, because God had enough of them.
Okay, it's a wrap.
Yeah. And they end up dying in the desert.
Yeah.
They didn't make it. Mm. They spent 40 years out there, which was only an 11-day journey initially. But because of their complaining, they never made it.
Mm.
Which made me think about, how many times have I complained?
Right.
What have I run my mouth about? What did I get impatient about? Mm-hmm. Where did I not love?
You think about that. If they were, I mean, it says that they were in the desert for a year for every day of complaining that they did. And just think about it. Are you in the middle of a desert because you're still complaining? You could have been through, how many times, I mean, I think about personally that I've been through seasons in my life way longer than it should have been because I just kept running my mouth, making sure that God knew what I didn't like that he was doing. And it was like, hello, like, what? Who's really in control here?
That's
that journey of just like, do you like being in the desert?
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have been where God was trying to bring you all along if you would have just shut your mouth and allowed God to do what he was trying to do in your heart.
Wow. That's right. That's right. And he says, complaining is a killer. It will short-circuit the life of God in you faster than almost any other thing.
Now, who's saying this?
This is John Bevere.
In his book?
Fear of the Lord.
Okay.
And he says, complaining indirectly communicates to the Lord, I don't like what you're doing in my life, and if I were you, I would do something differently.
Ooh.
Wow.
Complaining is nothing more than a manifestation of insubordination to God's authority.
Ooh.
Say that again.
He's alive.
Wait. What was that? What was that?
Say that again.
Wow. He says, if I were you, I would do something differently. Complaining is nothing more than a manifestation of insubordination to God's authority. It is extremely irreverent.
So what you're saying is God is not okay when you openly speak against your boss, the way things are done, the way at work, your parents. God's not okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He says also that those offended with God usually don't do this, are not so foolish as to directly oppose him. Instead, like you just said, they resist his word or his leadership.
Mm.
Wow.
So it's, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be careful. We got to just walk low. We got to be patient.
Yeah.
We can't just flippantly just say the first thing that comes to our minds. You know, I mean, it's crucial because, like you said, we're going to end up spending years in our desert experiences until we get this.
Yeah.
And I, for one, I'm tired of the desert.
Hello. Yeah.
I want out.
Feet hurt. Sun is hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no water around.
Yeah. I don't want to take another lap around this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time to move in to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the main reasons that happens is because we fall into the trap of what the enemy wants us to do is to be so self-focused. It's like, are you really that important?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get so consumed with your own thoughts, and it's like, did you have a plan to be born here? Did you have a plan for any of this? Did you just popped out of your mother's womb with, you know, you had no plan in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that, you know, when we become self-focused, everything's about self. There's no consciousness, there's no awareness of God. And if we keep our eyes upon the Lord and are aware that everything that we're doing is all for God, it makes all the difference in the world. We won't fall into that. When we come back from the break, we're going to share what we need to do so that we can grow more in this love walk.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio.
Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. So, my friend, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from a lot of our listeners and viewers and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
If I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator. But I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together. I want to encourage you. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Welcome back. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, L-I-G-H-T. And joining me from back from the break, it's Pat and Steve, and we're talking about this love walk, enduring, patiently, walking in love, because we can do nothing of any true significance before God outside of love. And we talked about that part of moving in love is the first step in this path. The first step in this journey is patience, which requires long-suffering, enduring, annoyance, misfortune, discomfort, without complaining. Pat, you're sharing. I was just, I mean, wonderful. The fear of the Lord, it just comes all together where listen, when we're complaining, we're saying that God doesn't know what he's doing in our life. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's irreverent.
Exactly.
And First Peter says for us to, he says to slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain. Yes, it says pain. Of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. I mean, I've done a lot of suffering, but it's normally for the things that I have done that I deserve.
Yeah, it's usually by our own hand.
Not exactly. not for unjust suffering. I don't know if I've been worthy enough to suffer for unjust suffering. Want that to change, though. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Amen. Listen, I would say, well, you know, God's doing this to me and I'm suffering. God's not doing that. You did that to yourself, dude. Nobody told him you're going 300 miles an hour and getting a ticket. I
was like, exactly.
That's what you did. You're not suffering for Jesus.
Right.
That's not, you're suffering for what you did. Exactly. You're suffering for what you did.
Yeah.
But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. And this is what he says in verse 21. To this you were called.
Mm.
Well, I didn't want this call. I didn't want the suffering calling.
I didn't want that part.
I didn't want the suffering calling. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. This is the thing about the Lord, is that God doesn't expect us to do anything that he himself hasn't done or hasn't equipped us to do in his word. He has given us the perfect example of how we can suffer righteously through God and move in love. And when he was taking those beatings, when he was on the cross, the Bible says that he didn't even retaliate and open his mouth. He was actually showing love to the very ones who were smacking him, pulling on his beard, whipping him. He didn't even open his mouth. He was actually loving them.
And that didn't complain once.
And didn't complain, like a lamb before the slaughter. And yet we get offended, we get slighted in any kind of way, we get done wrong or talked wrong, and there's an entitlement. No one should talk to you in any sort of way, but if who's doing the defending? The thing is, who of us is qualified to do the defending? The only defender that we need, right? We talked about this on VFN Radio, that if the Lord, if your life is in the Lord's hands, no defense is needed. We're going to relate that to you on this segment. But if your life is in the Lord's hands, there's no defense needed because God is the one who's able to do all the defending for you.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times we want to join the Lord in so many things. We want to join the Lord in all the goodness and all the blessings and, ooh, yes, I want that and give me all of this.
But not the hardships.
Not the hardships. And Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ how? In the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, there is a suffering that you can know Christ in. There is a fellowship. There is a unity. There is an intimacy because you are conscientious of God. You're conscientious of the pain. You're conscientious of the fact that I am being officially done wrong right now. I am aware that this is not right. I'm aware that this is not cool. I am aware that this is painful. But I'm also aware that I have two choices. I can stop and focus on myself and what this is being, how this is, affecting
pain.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can focus my attention on the Lord, ask for his grace, and make it all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you that when we do that, God steps on the scene. And believe you me, he has a way of making things right. If the Lord is your defender, let me tell you, just step out the way. Because he has a way of dealing with those who have been dealing with you unjustly. And it's like there's something special that if we can just get it, there's something special about just laying it all down and letting God step on the scene. Letting God come in and move powerfully. We want to encourage you today that it's all about the love walk. Get off of every other walk. Get on the love walk and stay on the love walk because God has amazing and beautiful plans for you. He has a destiny that is amazing, and he wants to use you. You got to know him first. You got to give him your heart. You got to give him your life. You got to make him your best friend. But when you do that, you can begin to receive his love so that you can actually give his love and walk in his love. And if, as you stay on this path, as you stay on this journey, my goodness, you'll be able, that path opens itself up to the other things in God. But you can't bypass the love walk to get on the highway. You got to walk through the love walk. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome.
Steve, you were talking about yesterday. We didn't get a chance to do this, but I know that there is some water sports that you would love to participate in. And you were sharing with us, what is this thing? What are you talking about? Floorboarding? Is that it?
Flyboarding.
Talk to us.
There was a couple inventors. They invented, or actually some brothers, they actually pioneered some engineering as far as connecting some type of board that connects to a jet ski and with water. And they ended up being about 45 feet above the water. And it's actually up in Utah. And they have, it's really started to go viral on YouTube. And you can actually see as far as there's a couple of people talking about it. There's a clip. I think, like I said, they're based out of Utah, and they had a couple of people who were able to try it out. So you can actually see the video that shows them actually riding the board. So
fantastic! So this is great. Have you seen this, Pat?
I've seen some of it. Yeah, it's amazing. It's wild.
Now, what's this whole technology thing? What are they doing? They're strapping on this.
Yeah, it attaches to your feet. It's kind of like the same bindings that would be on like a snowboard or like a wakeboard, but then it attaches. There's like a 55-foot hose that goes to the back of a jet ski, and then you got. So the thing is that you have to have a jet ski in order to have the flyboard, and then the flyboard itself. Then through that, then you're able to kind of go up and down, and they say you're flying above the air, and then also you're like a dolphin or something throughout the water. So it's actually pretty intense, but I guess
I think we have a clip of it right now. We're going to play some of it for you, but we're going to make this available for you on the torch. Listen to this.
Utah is home to some of the best outdoor recreation on the planet, but one new activity is about to take the water sports world by storm. ABC4 Utah's Emily Clark and Curtis Ray got to try out flyboarding.
Flyboarding is Iron Man walking on water, and it's even cooler than it looks. You may not have heard of it yet because it was just invented a few years ago. But based on the millions of hits on YouTube, this sport is about to blow up.
That is amazing.
It started off with just getting a board and thinking it was the coolest thing I ever saw.
Tom Hall, the owner of Rocky Mountain Flyboard, jumped all over this golden opportunity to not only get into this blooming business, but to do some flying as well.
It's the most awesome feeling to be standing on a tower of water up in the air and being able to carve back and forth. I love it.
Flyboarding takes the propulsion of a wave runner, runs it through a fire hose, and out the bottom of a modified board, flying you into the air.
As difficult as it looks, people pick it up pretty quickly.
Hard to describe. You just got to try it.
So no coordination whatsoever.
Ladies first, of course. Wetsuit, life jacket, helmet, no makeup. But the hardest part, getting into the very cold Willard Bay on this May morning.
When we're watching this video, it's basically these guys have this they're all standing on this board and don't have all the technical things to share with you, but basically this is what you're looking at. The water is pushing out the bottom and it's elevating the person on it. Like, you know, think of the Jetsons backpack, you know, and it's lifting them up 15, 20 feet in the air, and they're flying all through the air, and they're diving into the water, coming back
out.
They
look like dolphins jumping in and out of the water.
It's one of the coolest, amazing-looking things. You got to see this on the Torch. But I'll tell you, when we come back in the extra hour, we've got so much to share with you on the Constitution, what God is doing on the face of the earth. Listen, tune in to VFN Radio.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Steve, have you seen our new Facebook page?
That is awesome. Yes, I have.
All our radio subscribers need to do is go to our Facebook page, and you go to facebook.com/VFNTV, and you can check it out. It's constantly being updated. There's new radio segments posted daily. I want to encourage you to like us and have your friends like our VFNTV page on Facebook.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.